Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
What an incredible privilege, John, to get to the use of God to touch the world like that. Thank you. Thank you, Victory, for your generosity, for who you are. Thank you for making a difference in the world. We want to welcome Newcastle and Meadville, our campuses. We love you so much. Our online church, come on, welcome them, everybody. Cranberry, tell them how much you love them. Today, it's a celebration weekend. We're going to, at the end of the message I'm sharing with you, I'm going to let you know what you did through Kingdom Builders, and we'll get into that in a little bit and celebrate that. But we're in the third week of a series called Family Values, and it's not so much about the intimate family of individual lives, but this family here at Victory, the family of God, if you will. And so a couple years ago or so, Pastor Matt, our executive pastor, came to me. And he said, you know, as Victory now this year will be 28 years old, he said, the values that you and Michelle live by, people glean them here and there, our staff, our church, but we've never really taken the time for you two to really drill down the values by which you live. And these are not values that are for ministers. These are values for everyday life. And these are the things that will cause you to be able to fulfill the mission that God has for you in your sphere of influence. And so we spend a lot of time drilling down what we're sharing with you in these weeks about the values. Now, here's a simple understanding of a value. Values let you make decisions ahead of the curve. Here's what I mean by that. A value is the foundation from which you choose. If you're going to wait on what to decide when you get into a difficult situation, it's usually too late. But if you have values that are immovable, immutable, unchangeable in your life, when you get into those circumstances, your answers, your way forward, your path forward, your decisions in your everyday life will be more consistent. And so that's the power of a value. I want to encourage you not to just set goals in your life, but to adopt the values of God, of Christ in your life. Because really a great life or a difficult life largely is compiled and made up of the decisions that you make. So what we have been doing over these last 2 weeks is opening one week after another, sharing with you one of the values. Now, the first week we talked about let love lead. And if you weren't here for those, I really do encourage you to go back. And the second value we did last week was start with people. And Michelle came along and helped. And how many of you appreciate what she shared last week? Come on, man. I'm so grateful for her. Now, a lot of people ask me this question. You need to let Michelle do more speaking. Just so y'all understand, I don't let her nothing. I encourage her, whatever God puts in her heart, she has free course to do it. So, you know, if you guys want to come, and she's here, you know, right now, but at the Cranberry campus, but, you know, let her know that you need to do more of this, Michelle, and we just need you to do that. And if you don't do it, you know, God will forgive you, but we won't. And it's a... You know, no, she's such a blessing. And these values actually have come out of our own hearts. And we've broken them down into ways so that they're transferable for what we do for God, but also in everyday life. The third value I want to talk to you about of the six is this: expect multiplication. Say it out loud. Expect multiplication. All of the campuses, say it where you hear it. Expect multiplication. Now, the subtext was this. This is the value by which we live as if we, no matter what our vocation would be in life, is this: where people spend eternity matters. So we dream big, we plan big, give big to multiply the kingdom of God. This is the value from which we built our lives. But it's actually, I want you to see today, a value of the kingdom. Again, say the word expect. See, it's not just multiplication. The key is what you expect. And I want to take you into these just piece by piece, and we're going to wind up celebrating Kingdom Builders today. But let me encourage you to understand this simple principle of where people spend eternity matters. It matters desperately to God, so much so that Christ came and paid the sin debt with his very own life that none of us could pay. Jesus commanded, now this is very important, he commanded multiplication, but he did it with heaven and hell in mind. See, heaven and hell, people see when they hear the term hell, they think, well, I don't believe in that. Well, it really doesn't matter what I believe in. What is. And Jesus, I would tell you, spoke very much about a heaven and a hell. He talked about an everlasting punishment. That's why he came. That's why he paid the price and sacrifice that he did. When you speak of hell, it's not a condemnation. It's actually a story of rescue. But Jesus, when he commanded multiplication, he did it with eternity in mind. I'm going to take you to two scriptures very quickly where Jesus, these are the final words of Jesus. One is just prior, and then the last thing we'll read are the last words he spoke on this earth before he ascended. First, let's start in Mark 16, verse 15. This is just prior to Jesus literally ascending to go to be with the Father after his resurrection. And he said to them, and the them would be you and me today. He said, you go into all the world. Everyone say all the world. Go into all the world and you preach the good news. That's that he came and paid the debt to every person in the whole world. And because here's the reality, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned or damned. Jesus said there is a heaven or a hell on the other side of your multiplication. Then in the book of Acts, just prior to his ascension, the church gathered together, just a handful of people, 120 or so. And he said this in Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power. Power, it's the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Everyone say aloud, witnesses. He's empowering you to be his witness in the earth. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and now he speaks to you and me to the very ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. What I want you to see about Jesus is the last thing he said was, go get me the world. The last thing he said, go get me the world. And so what I see happening in so many lives of so many precious Christians, and let me say something that may sound derogatory, but I want to be careful, because if you know my heart and you know anything about our practices over the last couple decades, I absolutely love the body of Christ. I love the church. In fact, the local church, because it is the very body of Christ, is not a part of. It is the only hope of this world, God's people being the light and salt that Jesus called us to be in the earth. It's the only hope of the world. And I love pastors. Michelle and I serve pastors all over this region, hundreds of pastors over the years, and continually we pour our lives into them. But I can't tell you the conversations that I'm hearing that I believe grieve so deeply the heart of God. Expect multiplication. Expect multiplication. And I hear conversations like, well, you know, the day of where large churches grow is behind us. We want to be more intimate. And I think, what? Well, you know, I don't like it when, you know, and there's these mega churches or what. I hate that term, but y'all know what I mean by that. Do you understand on the day of Pentecost, the first day of the church, 3,000 people came to Jesus in one day. First day. That's larger than our attendance right now this week on this Sunday. And we've been at it almost 30 years. Oh, we see God so small. And I'm going to do, after each point, an action question. When I say action question, what do I mean by that? I want to give you a question that requires action. Expectation requires action. And what I found in this value of expecting multiplication from God in every arena of my life is critical. And I see that expectation so small in the hearts of so many. And it's my hope to raise your sight line today, beyond your circumstances, beyond the culture, beyond your inadequacies, even beyond your gifts, to see the potential of what God has called you to do individually and us together in the hand of working with a God that created the universe. So here's the action question that I'd ask you today. Who has God, by the Holy Spirit, empowered you to lead to Christ? Last week when Michelle was sharing, this came up in her heart, and truly by the Holy Spirit to speak over us as a church and all of our campuses. And she said, God is putting someone in our heart now that in your sphere of influence, that he will give you the grace and the empowerment to bring to know Christ, or at least to speak to them. And we prayed out that, and we all said, God, put someone in my heart, or we had someone in our heart. Those things easily get lost. And so if we're going to expect the kingdom to multiply, here's the question. Who is it? Not the theory, yeah, I should touch somebody. Who? Have somebody in mind that you're going to trust God to empower you to tell your story. So I can't tell anybody about my walk with God. I'm imperfect. That's why it's so powerful. There are no perfect people. There's only a perfect Savior. And I want to encourage you to take action steps. Who is it? Bring them to church, because every time we come together, I do my very best and I prepare hours and hours and hours every week to teach and to feed God's people. But always I'm praying for the people that are under the sound of my voice, whether you're here in person, at the campuses, online, wherever you are, that if you're here and you don't know Christ, that if your heart's far from God, that you know how desperately God loves you. And this is an amazing place to bring people so they can give their lives to Christ. And let's ask him, Lord, who is it? And I want you to celebrate something with me. Prior to coming to speak this morning, you saw the video. And I want to celebrate a wonderful number that changed heaven. Last year, we saw 3,272 people come to Christ in the services that we have here at this church. Come on, man. That's crazy. That's amazing. Do you realize that populates heaven and it plunders hell? The second point is this. This value that expecting multiplication demands that you dream big. Say it out loud, dream big. Say it everywhere, dream big. Because see, dreaming big realizes this. Jesus died to reach the whole world. The whole world. And it's so, so very important. But let me now bring this into practicality. Because there's a very small amount of percentage of God's people that are called to vocational ministry, that are called to separate themselves into ministry. And if you hear this through the lens of my calling, which is unique in the context of the if you will, the broader body of Christ, you won't know how to apply this. And my hope is that when you hear this today, you understand this translates into where you live, into what you do, into your vocational life, and how God wants to use you in your sphere of influence. So the question that I really want to kind of pose to you right now is that, do you understand that when you seek the kingdom of God and the dream of God to reach people and to multiply your life to reach people, when you seek it first, do you understand that when you do that, he empowers your life in the process? That in the Bible says it this way, that in watering others, you water yourself. The very water that pours through you, if you will, from God to water others with the influence of your life, you actually drink of. It's an amazing thing to understand that when you walk with God, there is the reality that divine favor awaits you in your everyday life. What's that mean? Let me explain to you favor. And if I were to give you any sentence that would give you the picture of why we got from where we were with the calling on our life, with the inadequacies that you could fill volumes of books with, to where it is today, is because of divine favor. Now, what do I mean by favor? We get the divine part. Favor is when you are treated, listen, better than you deserve. God's mercy is that his willingness and desire to treat you better than you deserve. But favor is when he makes other people treat you better than you deserve. It's when he opens doors that no man can close. It's when he shuts doors that no man can open. It's when the impossibility becomes practical. So often what we try to do is to drag God into our life. Lord, fix this part, fix that part. Help me do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. Instead of realizing we are not called to ask God to labor with us, we are called and privileged to labor together with God. And instead of trying to invoke the blessing of God to where I am, why don't you find out where his favor rests upon you? Where the passions of your life, where the vocational aspects of your life. Do you realize there are rooms that God wants to place you in, not for your benefit, but to expand his kingdom? That you have a sphere of influence that were given to you divinely by God, of people that you can touch in your everyday and vocational life. And if we so super spiritualize everyday life. In your everyday life, you are empowered by God. And he's simply saying, you've got to dream bigger. You've got to see the world. You've got to see your purpose through the lens of my life. When I look at the favor of God on our lives, I look at our 33, almost 34 years of marriage, and my 40 years of ministry, and it seems impossible when I see what God has done. The rooms that he's put us in, the influence that he's given us, the relationships that he's given us. Now, I can't go into the detail of this, but over the last election cycle, toward the end of it, I was invited to go to the White House, to be in the Oval Office, to spend about somewhere between a 60-90 minute time with the president, with a group of six or seven other pastors, and then invited to go to the acceptation of the nomination of the Republican Party. And now I didn't go, and I won't go into why, but I didn't have a peace about it, so I didn't accept the invitation. But in a million years, if I lived to be 10 million years, I never would have fathomed that kind of phone call coming. Why? You know, when you're younger, you think and you want things to happen, and it's hard to separate ego from helping people because you're young and you have to grow. But you know, you get older and that stuff goes away, and you realize that everywhere he puts me is because he's put me there for people. People first. Everywhere you are in your life, I don't care what you do for a living. Don't diminish what you do. You're not just a anything. You are God. You are God in skin to somebody. I want you to see and dream bigger than where you are. Don't limit where you are today to where God may want you to go. God cries out, literally screams out to you. Again and again in the Bible, you hear this term. He desires, listen to these words, to bless the God of the universe, to bless the work of your hands. That's very individual. God wants to pour out his divine favor, where he will treat you better than you deserve, and he will cause other people to treat you better than you deserve. Where you put your hands to work. There's nothing menial about what your hands are put to do if God shows up. And there's nothing menial about what you do when you're touching people. So I don't want to do what I do anymore. Then let me tell you something. Your hands need to be somewhere else eventually. Yeah, but that's impossible. Maybe with you. Maybe if you're trying to get God to come into your world. But what if you understood that the God of the universe uniquely saved you and positioned you because eternity matters to God, heaven and hell matter, that he wants you to begin to dream bigger for your life. He doesn't want anything defining your life other than him. Not your successes, not your failures, not your education, not your lack thereof, not your strengths and not your weaknesses. It's amazing what divine favor can do. In all of the values we try to create, and try to share, and what Pastor Matt asked us to do, he said, tell a story that illustrates this value that you and Michelle have lived, that people can understand and it can be sticky and they can take away and apply to their everyday life. And so let me take you back to when Victory Family Church started on October 17th, 1993. Because so often when people come today, they see this, and they make a lot of presumptions about it. One of the funniest things I hear when people say, and I guess people say it a lot, is Victory's that rich church. I'm like, dog, we never had a penny to do anything that God called us to do. I mean, when I say a penny, I mean not even a penny. But you see, when you labor together with God, you expect God to multiply you. You don't expect to be the resource. You expect to be the errand boy. And all you do is just bring the groceries, and he pays the bill. I'm telling you, he'll move heaven and earth to reach people because he already showed it by sending his son. So when Michelle and I were just married and we were called to start Victory, and I'll go into that story in one of the other values, but we were in Africa and we knew we were to stop being missionaries and to come back and start Victory. And so we did. Now, when you hear that, it almost seems like there was some kind of strategy or plan. We didn't have a plan. We didn't have a strategy. We didn't know you could have a thing like that. In fact, let me say this to you. I didn't understand the concept of a strategy. All we knew how to do was say yes and start. When I tell you we didn't have a dollar, we didn't have a dollar. We didn't have a microphone cord. We didn't have any people. It was she and I. But we obeyed, and let me tell you what we expected. We knew what God had called us to do in our hearts, and we expected multiplication. Listen to me. Expected. And let me tell you the very first Sunday. A while back, a young lady, she's in her 20s now, but back then she was just a little girl. She was going through stuff at her parents' house, and she found her first bulletin. And when you read that first bulletin, it actually tells you the very thing that you're seeing today. I actually wrote it on the very first Sunday. it wasn't because we knew what we were doing. It's hard to exaggerate how little we understood of what we were doing. If there's any book I could write, or 500 ways to try to kill a church. I'm not being self-deprecating. It is the absolute truth. But when God shows up, when the favor of God comes on a broken and an inadequate life, simply because they expect him to, because heaven and hell matter to God, he'll move heaven and earth and everything in between. And so that first Sunday, 33 people showed up. That includes Michelle and I. And half of those are just family and friends who came to support us and, you know, then went back to their lives. And the first Sunday, I remember standing up, and I literally told them everything that you see happening in this church today. I said, the day will come when this church here in Cranberry Township will have multiplied thousands in it. We will build a sanctuary that will see thousands of people. We will then God will raise us up to touch the entirety of the Northeast. First day, 33 people. Other than my mother and Michelle and Pastor Pat Butcher, who came up to surprise us, everyone else looked at us like, are you out of your mind? Don't you know where you're at? And don't you know we're not coming back next week? Because it had nothing to do with anything except knowing that we expected what God promised he would do. I remember that day, I did it till death do us part. I said, I can tell you this, that I plan to give my life to this. I someday will be old and die and be buried somewhere on some hill around here. But this will come to pass. Now, it felt like a ball hitting the back of the room and hitting me in the face when I said it. Why? Well, you can understand anybody in the room would think you're out of your mind. And that's okay. I am out of my mind. If you've ever spent any time up here, you wouldn't want to be in there either. Most people, that's all they can live is in their mind. I want to find the heart of God for people and live there and expect multiplication. He didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. The scripture said, how will he not freely with him give you everything? Anything you need to reach people when he already gave his life. What if you believe that? What if you live that way in your everyday life? What if you expect that in your vocational life? What if you expected God to bring you favor and increase? I'm not suggesting that you may be called to lead a great company or have to go to some heights in a company or in your vocation. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. But I am suggesting this. Don't you dare settle for less than what God has called you to do. Because everywhere your influence increases, your capacity to be able to bring the kingdom of God to people without him increases with it. And I want with everything in me. And I remember when I began to share, and today it now has expanded to where we have campuses too. Of course, Meadville, we love you. And Newcastle, we love you. And in fact, when we started Victory, there were no buildings in Cranberry. There wasn't even a post office here. And we're driving around, and Michelle's like, I go, baby, there's not even a building to rent here, and we don't have money to rent it anyway. And we're driving, and she said, honey, I think you could have church in the cinema. And I thought, really? You think you can? Well, so we went in, we were able to rent the cinema. Now, back then, to my knowledge, nobody did that. We'd never heard of it. Now it's a trend so much so, hey, Meadville, where are you at right now? In a cinema, right? And God started it. It was remarkable. And now two campuses, and there will be more and more. He said, where are they going to be? I don't know. And let me tell you what else I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do everything. Because I expect multiplication. I expect the power of God. I expect the resources of heaven. 2 weeks ago, when I was speaking on Let Love Lead, our staff puts out like an Instagram or Facebook post, and it's kind of just a spot in one of the services. And I was sharing about this thing that God had called us to do. And then I talked about that we were going to reach in the next decade or so, we were going to help plant 1,000 churches in the Northeast. And I didn't realize I did this. I watched it. And I was speaking with my eyes wide open. But when I said that, I closed my eyes. And I talked about reaching and planting 1,000 churches in the Northeast in the next decade or so. And I realized something. I closed my eyes for a reason. Because there are some things you must close your eyes to see. Let me say that again. There are some things that you have to close your eyes to see. And most of us live with our eyes wide open and giving deference and respect to everything we feel, everything we touch, everything we see, every opinion. Sometimes you have to close your eyes to see what God has for you. And so my action question, remember, action question, because expectation requires an action, is this. Is there somewhere in your life that this should apply that it isn't yet, or it needs to expand? Who or what do you need to see with your eyes closed? What is it that God has put in you? Do you have to close your eyes to be able to see? Maybe you have to close your eyes to see people that are part of your life that are far from God, that you can see no way of their return. You have to close your eyes and see the multiplier show up. Maybe it's the restoration of your marriage. Maybe it's the way you see your future. Yet most people live and die, and they never have to close their eyes to say something. God called you to live this way. It's absolutely the call upon your life. And here's the third value that comes out of it. If you're going to expect multiplication, you have to plan big. Say it out loud, plan big. Say it again, plan big. See, and this is a value. We expect everything we do, and I mean everything we do, and everywhere we do it, to multiply. See, expecting to multiply something without executing an aggressive plan, it's nothing more than a wish. You've got to add action to what you expect. You've got to add, there's something you need to do next. Now, remember this, God blesses the steps of a man, not the leaps. Sometimes we think we have to go from A to Z. It's just A to B, the next step. And it feels so common and normal. But you have to plan big. You have to plan with God in mind. I don't care what it is. You have to start seeing what it needs to be and what's my next step. And then you aggressively go toward that next step. What if I make a mistake in the next step? You will, because you're human. So what do? Make another one and expect to multiply. This is so important. But here's something I want that I'm going to drill down just for a moment. Planning for multiplication will always challenge a self-focus. It will always challenge a person's selfishness. Because we're human, and often what we plan is what benefits us the most, or our four and no more. But expecting to multiply is so far beyond the perimeters of my life and your life. If you're going to plan, say out loud, plan big. If you're going to plan big, it's going to challenge your self-focus. Let me tell you a story of where this has been illustrated through the years over and over again. I don't say it much anymore because it's pretty much become a part of the fabric of this church. But when I would share in the early days, when there were just 100 people, 75, 100, then 150, and even 300, 400, 500 people attending, I would talk of the day when we would have a church where you'd have to meet at Gate A, like a stadium. And people, it bothered Christians. I don't mean once and I don't mean twice. More times than I can remember, here's the conversation that would come to me over and over and over again. And here's what people would say. And by the way, these are wonderful and good people. They would say, you know, Pastor John, I know you're trying, you know, we want to reach people, but I just hope the church doesn't get too big. I would say, okay. I said, explain that to me. Well, you know, I said, no, I really don't. Explain it. Well, I just hope, I pray, you know, it will become impersonal. I said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, if it just gets too big and, you know, I don't know, I don't know. Explain to me. What they're basically saying is, I want to come somewhere where it feels good for me. I want to come to a place to where it makes me comfortable. So here's what I've said hundreds of times through the years. And I said, well, tell me your kids' names, Bobby and Susie. Okay. I said, I'll make you a deal. We'll stop growing if Bobby and Susie are the two people that go to hell first. And it's like a gut punch. Oh, no. I said, you don't want them to go to hell. No. I said, well, then who do you want to go to hell? Oh, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I said, then tell me why we shouldn't be reaching people. For your comfort, a seat? Can I tell you that we've never built anything here that the people here needed it? Do you understand that the people that were in the building didn't need the next one? The people at this campus and at Meadville And at Newcastle, you won't need the next campus, but someone else will. Multiplication challenges self-focus. I would have rathered people come to me cursing with a stack of pornographic books in their arm than to come and tell me that we should stop reaching people for, I don't know. Do you know why this chair that used to, where people sit on in churches is called a pew? Because people have sat in them so long they stink. Now, these are good people. Where does that thinking come from? The pit of hell. It causes you to think about you. Do you know how many people evaluate the church they go to like a restaurant? Do you know how self-focused that is? Well, you know, the church, this isn't perfect in the church. It ceased being perfect when you came. It was imperfect when there were two of us. You're not here for you if you're a Christian. Of course there's value. Of course you ought to be where you feel you should be in a local church. I get that. But if all you ever evaluated, I don't know if I like the worship anymore. Well, grow stinking up. I didn't like that song. Really? Someone's going to hell and they want to talk to me about a key change in a song? I mean, are you out of your mind? No, I'm trying to help you to see when you have a value, you can't consider anything else. Expect big. You are called as a Christian to start a riot or a revival wherever you go. And I don't mean being silly and turning things up for no good reason, but you need to be able to care that deeply for people. In the book of Acts, it happened when they would go. And in fact, can I tell you the early church, listen, when they went to city to city, they literally would have a revival and then usually a riot. And I want you to listen to what was said of them in Acts 17 to one of the cities they went to. Verse 6, it said, these men who have turned the world upside down have now come to our city. You understand you are called to turn this broken world upside down so they can live right side up. That's your calling. And most people live and die and they never step into it because the self-focus of their life, their problems, their pain, or their pleasure. And they have lived while they live. It's God's calling upon every person to truly make that kind of impact. And you remember this about the early church. They were not citizens of Rome. They were oppressed by Rome. They were persecuted by Rome. They were murdered by Rome. They had no form of communication other than mouth, ear to mouth, and writing. They had no form of transportation other than their feet, a donkey, a horse, or a ship. And inside of a decade and a half, the whole world was turned upside down by the gospel. It isn't convenience that I need. It's the power of God that I need. They, everywhere they went, they expected God to show up. We expect multiplication at the Cranberry campus, at Meadville, at Newcastle, at every campus, and the 1,000 churches that will help plant. We expect multiplication because that's the God we serve. What are you expecting in your life? This value, I long for you to live this. And here's the action question. Remember again, expectation, expect multiplication. It demands action. Here's your action question. When we talk about plan big, what is your right now plan to share your faith or bring someone to church? See, if you don't put it into a right now, you'll put it off and you'll just keep letting life pass you by. What is your right now plan? Who is the person God put into your heart? And what is your next step this week to influence their life, to be able to come to know Christ? And you understand, I mean that relationally. I don't mean walk up to them and go, I'd like to tell you about the Lord. Don't be nuts, unless you're nuts. You say, how many of you know that some of us just a little crazy? How many of you know somebody crazy? Okay, and if you don't know anybody crazy, you're the one. Just a thought. No, seriously, listen. You have to have a right now plan. And not just for reaching people. What's your right now plan? What has God been prompting your heart about your future, your tomorrow? Maybe a deeper place you have to be educated. An area he wants you to gain understanding because he wants to breathe on it and to multiply it in your life. I don't know what that is for you, but I can promise you this. Every step you will take will feel so incredibly natural until heaven shows up. And I long for you to get to live that way. The last value that out of expecting multiplication that Michelle and I have lived in our entire married life is to give big. And it comes from the heart of God. In John 3:16, God so loved that he gave. What did he give? His son. That's giving big. Giving big doesn't mean amounts. Giving big talks about my heart, my intent, the willingness to give all and not just money. That's why the tithe is the same for everybody. Tithing has nothing to do with money. It has to do with my heart. Giving big is a value that Michelle and I have lived the entirety of our life. But now since this wonderful church, we have now seen that value, which began in just two kids as a seed, is now this great, great plant, and if you will, oak tree of people all over this great church who live this value and have shaken the world. I've learned something, that it takes greater faith to be an extravagant giver than to receive. And I'll tell you why. To give requires that I can trust the love of God. To give realizes that for me to be a giver is literally how I join myself to the heart of God. The generosity of this church overwhelms me. Your generosity, which you may not be able to compare it to anything because you're a part of Victory, I want to take you into Kingdom Builders now and what you did in 2021. It's absolutely overwhelming what you did in 2021. I wish there was a way to give you context to what's happening in churches around our nation. You are breaking barriers with your generosity by the percentage and size of this church. I don't know how to exaggerate the impact you're having. And please understand when I talk about giving big, in this sense, Kingdom Builders is tied to your financial giving. But let me help you understand that through Kingdom Builders, you are supporting 68 ministries, listen, in 113 countries. And that map is who you're touching in the world right now. Kingdom Builders, that's who your giving is touching right now. Thank you for your generosity. And it isn't money that you're sending. Do you realize that last year, multiplied millions of people came to know Christ through the ministries you support in all of these nations? Heaven is going to look different because of that. Come on, man, what a privilege that is. Our Kingdom Builders goal in 2021 was $1.6 million. Now, remember, Kingdom Builders is what we do beyond our giving. It's what we do to expand the kingdom of God around the world through mission projects and the service and support of missionaries. And the second part of it is in our own nation and even in our own backyard to expand God's kingdom and to lift people. And the third part of Kingdom Builders is to raise up future Christian leaders. And your generosity has been remarkable. Thank you for your generosity. Our goal was $1.6 million. Let me tell you the total of what you gave in 2021 through Kingdom Builders. $2,381,294. Come on, man. Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. Come on. It's remarkable. That means over and above the $1.6 million that we were believing to be able to give away into those three areas, you gave, and over the goal, listen to this, incredible, you gave $781,294 above the goal. Come on, man, isn't that remarkable? So many of you, along with that precious family that brought the $250,000 match, you added that plus more. And this isn't money, these are people. Heaven will look different because of this. In a moment, I'm going to show you a video of with the over and above money, some of the, where we're able to send it, where those of you in our church were able to tell the ministries we were supporting. I want you to see it. I want you to actually feel what you see in their face because you are empowering them to reach people for Christ. So take a look at this video, and I want you to see what you're over and above. This is above the $1.6 million that we are able to give away and distribute around the world to bless ministries and to reach people for Christ. You're making such a difference in this world. Thank you so much. Take a look at this video, and let's celebrate together.
Hey, Victory Family Church, I'm Steve Moore, and I want to thank you once again for your faithful giving to Kingdom Builders in 2021. Man, not only did we meet our goal, we greatly surpassed our goal in 2021. So what that did is it allowed us to bless ministries, and even to add some ministries to Kingdom Builders that weren't a part of the guide. So what we did is we set up some in-person visits, and we set up some Zoom calls to allow some of you to come in and to meet these people, to go to these locations, to bless these ministries. So take a look at the excitements that's captured as a result of your giving in 2021.
Hey, guys.
Hi. My name is Joy, and these are my boys.
Hi, I'm Jake.
I'm Zach.
What's up, Jake and Zach? My name is Jordan Williamson, and I'm on the team here at Helens College. We're in Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, this year, due to the overwhelming generosity of our congregation and Kingdom Builders, we'll be sending Highlands College a check for $100,000 to fill your mission of training future Christian leaders for the body of Christ.
Man, unbelievable. I had no idea this call was going to be for that. You guys are amazing. I don't know. Words are really escaping me right now.
Can you guys tell us about China Mission?
We've got 7 million people in Hong Kong to reach. It's less than 10% Christian. So there's a lot of people here that need to know Jesus. And then, of course, we are still the main back door to mainland China, where there's 1 billion people that need to know Jesus. And we have a challenge from God to do something amazing. And when you see people getting saved, getting set free, which there's a lot of them here, it's quite fulfilling.
Awesome. Well, this year, due to the overwhelming generosity of our congregation and Kingdom Builders, we will be sending China Mission $25,000 to continue making impact globally.
I didn't see that coming. Hey, girls, do you know how much money that is? Yeah. Wow. I am beside myself to think of words to say thank you for that. Wow.
I just felt for years like wondering, God, I think I know I'm called. And then him just finally being like, start with what you do. And I have on my own taken young girls out for years and been like, do you want to spend time together? Do you want to go get ice cream? Do you want to go to the thrift store? And that's just been something I've done. And it's just so simple that God would be like, what's my call?
Well,
do that. Start there.
Yeah.
So that's where
awesome.
Bloom and Be started.
Well, Anna, we would like to present you with this check for $16,000.
What? Thank you so much. This is like exceeding my expectations.
Yeah.
And thank you, Victory, for just being the vessel for the heart of God.
Absolutely. It is our honor for sure.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Poland. This is my lovely wife, Monica. What we're dreaming for and believing for is that we'll be able to hire 2 staff members. So that is we need help. In Jesus' name. So we're believing that we'll have the resources to hire 2 staff members. So that's a key help for us. And then as far as our church goes, we just want to be more effective in reaching people in our community.
That is really awesome to hear. And hey, we as a church would like to partner with you on that. We will be sending Discover Church $25,000.
You guys! Oh my God, thank you.
Are you serious?
You just paid the salary for our worship pastor.
No way!
You just hired our worship pastor.
Yeah, I'm Matt Ward. I serve as a pastor here in Maine, and I also serve as the president here at Faith Bible College International. We have a 67,000 square foot campus here. And one of the more immediate needs, however, is that our students have a great learning environment, and for that to happen, we need to have an updated security system.
Well, this year we will be sending Faith Bible College $50,000.
Wow. Wow, you just made a preacher speechless. That's a miracle.
That's good. So can you tell us how these funds will help Faith Bible College in the new year?
We will be able to finish the security project. It's great. A $50,000 project, oh. And almost $10,000 has come in. So I can say to you, the Family Church, that you will help make our campus safe.
Can you tell us a little bit about Urban Impact?
We've been around 26 years, and we serve thousands of children and youth on the north side of Pittsburgh and families. But our goals are to continue to educate. We're going to continue to do the gospel. So we win, we build, we equip, we multiply, and we send.
Well, Pastor Ed, we're excited to be here. And due to the overwhelming generosity of Victory Family Church and Kingdom Builders, we're excited to be able to, over and above what we've already committed and given to you, we're excited to present you a check for $50,000.
Wow.
To continue your work and making an impact locally.
Oh, give me a hug. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you.
My name is Pastor Matt Joya, and I live in Bangor, Maine. We planted the Pines Church March 7th, 2021, so we are 10 months old officially. Maine is one of the least church states in the United States, 49th in Christians per capita, only beat out by Vermont. It's top 10 opiate addiction and overdose, top 10 in government assistance, top 10 divorce rate, and top 20 suicide. So if there's anywhere in the world to plant a church, Maine is definitely the place to do it. The vision for 2022 is to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We want to be a church that's willing to roll up their sleeves and get a little dirt under our fingernails to help the broken, the marginalized, and the hurting.
That's awesome. I did want to tell you, Matt, we will be sending Pines Church $25,000.
I'm sorry. We just had a conversation about finances just an hour before we got on this call. And we're good, but you know, we were just talking about some of the needs. It's been a stretch. So for you to share that, it means a lot.
Hey, wasn't that incredible seeing the impact that your giving had in 2021? Obviously, we can't capture all the stories on videos. So I just want to highlight a few things to you that you also did through your giving in Kingdom Builders in 2021. We were able to send $50,000 to a ministry called Unaltered that operates locally, raising up future Christian leaders for the body of Christ. Another ministry, Reach Ministries, planting churches in Asia. This fully funds the rest of their project, an additional $30,000 to their ministry to fully fund their church planting efforts. Right here locally, Champion Life Church, Pastor Larry and Kim Betancourt, awesome people, have been a part of Victory for years. And we were able to help them with their new building, $50,000 that we were able to help them with. House of Palms in India, we're able to send them an additional $30,000 to help care for the girls that have been rescued out of the horrific situations in which they live. Another one I want to highlight is Triumphant Ministries. Triumphant Ministries, we're sending them an additional $25,000. And this is a ministry that operates in Myanmar, Burma, and they're ministering to an extremely oppressed people, but it's amazing the favor that God has given them. Again, we're sending them an additional $25,000. Last one I'll highlight to you is John Maxwell Leadership Foundation. Through the Leadership Foundation, they reach people with the gospel all over the globe. We're sending them $100,000. And again, this will see people come to Jesus in incredible numbers. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness to give in 2021, Kingdom Builders, and I anticipate an incredible 2022 as well. Thank you so much.
Come on, man. What a privilege, huh? Oh, my. Thank you, thank you. Victory, thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity. The lives that are being changed are overwhelming. You know, as we come in now to 2022, and I want to just share with you our 2022 goal, I want to just bring this down to one small little thing, because sometimes such great numbers and so many people and millions of people, you miss the one. In the beginning of the service, you saw what God did in 2021, and you probably passed right by it. There was just a very short clip of a little girl sitting on a bed in front of a hut. And what I want you to know about that picture is that's in northern India, And that's where you built the House of Palms, where you have now helped rescue another 40 girls out of the most horrific kind of sex trafficking. And let me tell you about that little girl. That's a real picture of that little girl. That bed is in front of her own father's home. And that bed is a sign to anybody driving by that, prostitution exists. And she's sitting on that bed. And her father is marketing his own daughter. And they stop. And the man brings his daughter into his father's house. And that little girl is used as a prostitute in her own home. And that bed is literally like a brothel sign. You've taken 40 girls away from those beds and are educating them. They're coming to Christ and their families are being changed and they're going to live an entirely different life. And most of these girls that are sex trafficked, as you can imagine, die very young. You have saved the lives of 40 additional girls in that village, of which this practice has happened for 500 years. It's unimaginable that we get to be a part of something like that. God is so good. What a privilege it is to be a kingdom builder, isn't it? Aren't you grateful that God gives us that privilege? It's incredible. In 2022, we're believing God to be able to again set a goal that stretches our faith to touch the world with the gospel. And I'll share that goal in a minute, but I want you to be aware that at all of the campuses and for those online, and we have this brochure that tells our 2022 projects, not all of them, but a lot about it, available for you when you leave, and on an ongoing basis, it's available online. But we're believing God that in 2022, over and above what we give normally through our general giving to the church, we are going to give as a church and all of our campuses together, those who are part of our church online, that we are believing God. Last year, our goal was 1.6 million. This year, we're believing God to be able to believe in $2.5 million. Come on, Victory. You can believe God with us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege. I want to pray over our giving in 2021. I want to pray over what God may lead you to do in 2022. As you know, if you're a part of Victory, we don't raise funds throughout the year. We just tell you about Kingdom Builders. And your generosity, as you can see, is absolutely remarkable. And that final action question is this for you. Begin to seek God in your heart. Lord, what is my over and above that I'm supposed to do out of my general giving beyond that to be able to fund and to believe God for that $2.5 million? And remember this. We say it over and over again. Don't do the math. Just do your part. Do what God leads you to do. Let me pray over you. I want to pray over your generosity, over the ministries that we're supporting that you have so blessed. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you over all of our campuses. We are so grateful for the privilege of being able to labor truly together with you, that these resources, these finances turn into eternal lives. And these are treasures now laid up in heaven. Thank you for that privilege. We pray for the ministries that we're supporting. We pray for the work that they're doing, the people that they're reaching. And Lord, I pray for the people, the Kingdom Builders of Victory Family Church. And I pray that you would bless the work of their hands. You would cause your favor to abundantly flow through their life. And Lord, as we approach 2022, speak to our hearts what we should do. Help us to actually dream big, to expect big from you, to expect multiplication to pass through our lives into the lives of others. I speak that over them, Father, at all of our campuses. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, one last celebration I have for you, and then we're going to, at all of our campuses, just stand and sing one song of celebration to God. What many of you may or may not know is, as a church, because we teach what the Scripture says on a personal basis, that tithing is simply the first tenth, it belongs to God. But we practice that as a church. Aside from Kingdom Builders, everything you give to this church, if it's not designated, a tenth of it is put aside, and that also is given into the kingdom of God. So I want you to know that in addition to the monies that were given last year through Kingdom Builders, Victory Family Church, you also, through your general giving and the tithe of that, so we give it a minimum of 10% out of that account, is this. You gave an additional $856,175. Isn't that incredible? Come on, man. Look at what God's enabled us and privileged us to do. So if you take our Kingdom Builders, adding it to our church tithe, your total giving in 2021 was $3,237,469. Come on, man. That's incredible. God, thank you for the privilege. Let's stand at all of our campuses. Let's worship God together. Let's celebrate the privilege of being used to touch this world. Come on, let's worship God. Worship Him.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.